Well, if you can take your Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians, we'll be in Philippians chapter 4. I think of Philippians, obviously it was written to the church at Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony on the coast of what we would now call Greece. Its residents had special privileges at its time. They were given what's called the Italic rights, that is, they were considered basically Roman citizens, even though they were not actually on Italian soil. The church at Philippi came about as a result of Paul's second missionary journey. You think of Acts 16, you think of Lydia and her household, the Macedonian call there, you think of the Philippian jailer, famous stories and famous notable converts from Paul's second missionary journey there at Philippi. Paul left a church there. And as we come to Philippians, this is obviously a letter written to that church. It's written in part, if not mostly, as a thank you note, actually, of the church at Philippi at least four times sent to Paul to help him in his needs monetarily, other things like that. This was at least the fourth time it's happened. It's recorded in two times are mentioned in Philippians 4, 15 and 16, once in 2 Corinthians 11, 9. And Paul's writing to thank them. He's also taking the chance as he sends this letter to address some issues going on in the church. But probably the thing Philippians is most known for is its theme of joy. And it is that theme which we'd like to look at today. There are some 18 references to joy throughout this book. You know, I think too often we as Christians, when it comes to joy, when it comes to rejoicing, I think too often we act almost as if we weren't saved. I think too often joy is something that's completely tied to our circumstances, our surroundings, our interactions with people. And I want to show today, to demonstrate from this passage, that joy, that rejoicing is a choice that we make. It's an act of faith. It's not something that's just a result of our surroundings. I've entitled the message, "The Choice to Rejoice." And as we look here at Philippians 4, and we'll be looking at verse 4, want to see the command to rejoice, the cause for rejoicing, and the continuation of rejoicing. I want to see that we must choose to act, to make a choice to rejoice, to make an act of faith by which we choose to rejoice no matter what the circumstances are. Before we get started, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this day you've given us. Thank you for the country you've allowed us to be in so that we can sing these patriotic songs. I know we enjoy those, Lord. I pray now that you'd focus our minds on your word. I pray you'd give me the right words to say this morning, that you would deliver the message to hearts, that you would have people to hear today. Apply it to lives as you would see fit. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Philippians 4:4, very famous verse, probably most of us could quote it by heart, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." The first thing we're looking at is the command to rejoice. What are we supposed to do? This word rejoice comes from the Greek word kaireo, or kairete in this tense here. The word means to rejoice, to be glad, to do well, to thrive, to be well. This word is an action word. It's not just a feeling. It's not just something that comes up in your heart, although that is involved with joy. This word here is an action word. It's something we do. It's something that you choose to do. And it's not just a feeling that happens, but an attitude which you choose to adopt. No, happiness, as we think of it, can be stimulated by surroundings, by occurrences, by things that happen to us, things people say things to us, people do things for us, can stimulate happiness. But this rejoicing that we're looking at here as an action word is something that doesn't happen to you. It's something that you choose to do. You know, this attitude not only is an attitude, but it's something that should be noticeable on the outside. You know, Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." Now, a cheerful countenance is something that people can see. Isaiah 3:9 says, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them." So, you know, sometimes you say, "Well, I'm happy on the inside, I just don't feel like showing it," sort of thing. You know, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of truth in that. If you truly are rejoicing, I think people can usually tell on the outside. But that's what we're looking at here, is this word rejoicing. As I said, it's an action word. It's not just something that happens to you. It's something that you do. As we look at the cause for rejoicing, number two, we'll spend a little more time here. The cause for rejoicing, why should I rejoice? Is rejoicing just a reaction? Is rejoicing just something I can't help? Something that just, if it happens, it happens. If not, well, too bad. All right. The cause for rejoicing, why should we rejoice? First thing I want to see is we must rejoice out of obedience. Right, the verse says, rejoice, twice. Both times that word is an imperative. I know imperatives mean it's a command. And most of us, whether or not we like commands, we at least understand commands. If someone gives you a command, it always gives you two choices. Either you obey or you disobey. And that's whether the person has authority to command you or not, it always gives you those choices. Well, in this case, it is God telling us to rejoice. So it's God giving the command. Therefore, if God gives you a command and you don't do it, then that's sin. I think a lot of times we think of rejoicing as something that, you know, exceptional Christians do. You know, it's those super Christians are the ones that are happy all the time, no matter what happens. It's, you know, superheroes who can have bad things happen and still rejoice. When actually what I want to see today is that rejoicing Christians aren't super Christians, they're just obedient Christians, since God told us to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 also repeats this command. It says, Paul once again says, rejoice evermore. So thus we see, since it is a command, failure to rejoice isn't just a mark of, well, I'm not as spiritual as you are, sort of thing like we like to say. Failure to rejoice in every circumstance is actually sin. Therefore, we can't just use the excuse, well, I just can't be happy right now. I just can't choose to rejoice, you know. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening to me. And you know that's true. But God's the one who said to do it. God's the one who gave the command. Therefore, we can't use that excuse. And you know, when God tells you to do something, if you choose to do it because he tells you to, I think God will help you do it. So the excuse, well, I can't rejoice, just means you don't want to. Just means you aren't willing to act by faith and do what God tells you to do. God will help you to do what he's commanded you to do. But not only should we rejoice because it's out of obedience, but also because of our relationship with Christ. The verse says, rejoice in the Lord. Now that preposition in gives the idea of a location of the realm of, you could say, rejoice in the realm of the Lord. Now that has a lot of significance, I think, a lot of implications we can see in that. Now, the fact that as Christians, this is referring to Christians, we are in Christ. We know it's referring to Christians. In verse 1, Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. So we know he's talking to Christians. The phrase in Christ definitely refers to Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? As Christians, you have the Spirit of God in you. Romans 8, 9 through 10 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It goes on to say, and if Christ be in you. So having the Spirit in you, having Christ in you, if you're a Christian, Christ is in you, you are in Christ, ye are in Christ. Therefore, all believers are being referred to here when it says, rejoice in the Lord. If you are a Christian, you are in the Lord. So I think our position in Christ should cause us to rejoice for numerous reasons. I think we'd spend a long time here just coming up with aspects of our Christianity that really should cause us to rejoice. We can just look at some of those today. As Christians, we are free from condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, once, before we were saved, we were doomed to suffering under God's judgment. We had nothing greater than that to look forward to in all eternity. Now as Christians, we are eagerly awaiting an eternity in heaven. I think that's cause to rejoice. We have eternal life, John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Where once, Ephesians 2 says, once we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but now we are quickened, now we have eternal life. I think that's cause to rejoice. We are joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, I can't even begin to comprehend how we as human beings, as sinful creatures, could be referred to as joint heirs with the Son of God. But whether or not you can really wrap your mind around that, I think that's cause to rejoice. We are sons of God, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ephesians 2 says we used to be the children of wrath. We were born under the condemnation of God. We were born in sin. We were born under the wrath of God, called the children of wrath. But now, we are the children of God. How wonderful is that? We can rejoice because the joy of the Lord is our strength, as Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says. We can rejoice because as Christians, we can cast all our cares upon Christ. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:7, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I've thought sometimes what it would be like to not be a Christian. I'm not sure if you've ever thought about that. If I were not a Christian, what would my life be like? How could I live? How could I keep going through the things that happen in life without the privilege of prayer, without being able to cast my burdens on the Lord and have his strength, have him uphold me? But yet we take that so much for granted that it doesn't cause us to rejoice, even when things do go bad. As Christians, we are in the care of a loving God. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 through 27. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We are in the care of a loving God. Now, of all the false gods that you read about, that you can study about, that you can go around the world and find that people worship, ours is unique in that our God loves us. Have you ever thought about that? The fact that God loves you? When you start looking at love, the fact that God's love has nothing to do with whether or not I deserve it, which I'm thankful for because I could never deserve God's love, ever. Yet God loves me unconditionally. God loves me so much that he gave his own son to die for me. I think that gives me cause to rejoice. As Christians, we can know that Christ is always with us. Matthew 28, verse 20, the end of the verse, Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Same thing said in Hebrews 13:5. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But when he says, rejoice in the Lord, and remember that Christ is always with you. When it says rejoice in the Lord, and you realize that as a Christian, you are in Christ. So when does that leave you that you shouldn't have to rejoice? As a Christian, you are always in the Lord. As a Christian, you always have Christ with you. I think of even that little phrase when Paul says, and again I say, rejoice. When he says, I say, remember this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter. And Paul's saying, again, I say to you, rejoice. Now, I think most of us, if we compared our lives to Paul, we probably have more cause to rejoice than Paul did. You know, if you go to Acts 16, where Paul was in Philippi, I don't think he had much memory from Philippi of reasons to rejoice as he was beaten and thrown in jail and put in stocks. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16, Paul says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in the confidence of boasting. Good answer, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. It seems like the word peril describes Paul's life. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without. It says these are all externals. That's just what happened to my body. That's just what happened on the outside. Beside all that, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I can tell you, I have no idea how Paul could sustain himself under such pressure of the care of all those churches that he planted. You read his letters and you see the heart he had for them, the emotion, the love he had for them, how he's always praying for them and longing for them and longing for them to get over the problems that they have and become more like Christ. How he could do that for every church on top of everything else he suffered is beyond me. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? So we think when Paul says, I say to you, rejoice, this isn't a man writing this letter from a luxurious palace, you know, with servants to do all his biddings, who just kind of relaxes all day long and has everything he could ever want and more. This is a man writing from prison. This is a man who's been beaten, who's been shipwrecked, who's, as I said, his life was described by the word peril. And yet he's writing and saying, I say to you, rejoice. Now, if Paul could rejoice throughout all that, I would say we could too. You know, even the first part of Philippians, we talk about just your circumstances. Well, look at verse 12. Paul starts talking about the fact that he's in prison. Verse 13 mentions his bonds in Christ. And he starts talking about the fact that others around him are preaching Christ. Verse 15, even of envy and strife. And some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So instead of looking at the fact that, oh, they're mocking me, they're making fun of me, they're trying to make things worse for me, what he says, I will rejoice. And that goes back to the whole point of what we're looking at today. It's a choice he made. He didn't say, I rejoice just for whatever. He says, I will rejoice. He had made that choice. He was going to rejoice. Now, just other causes. If you just look at the word joy or rejoice throughout the Bible, other causes that we have to rejoice. Matthew 5, verse 11 through 12. We are to rejoice if we have the privilege of suffering for Christ, and rejoice for the reward we have in heaven. Luke 10:20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Romans 16:19, rejoice in the good testimonies of other Christians. 1 Corinthians 13:6, rejoice in truth. 2 Corinthians 7:9, rejoice when others repent for sin. Philippians 1:18, rejoice at the spread of the gospel. So you see, the cause for rejoicing, you know, if nothing else, God told you to, you should do it. If you need more than that, since we like to have reasons to rejoice other than someone told you to, there's just the phrase, in Christ, I think, gives us so much to rejoice about. I think, how can we walk around and moan and complain about how hard our lives are when all those things are true about us? I think too often We look down, we can't get our eyes off the floor in front of us, and we forget what we really are. How can we be anything but rejoicing as sons of God, as heirs of Christ, with eternity in heaven waiting for us, with a loving God who cares for us? I think we have innumerable reasons to rejoice. Number three, I want to look at the continuation of rejoicing. When should we rejoice? You know, this verse places enormous emphasis on the ongoing action of this. Both times it says rejoice, beginning at the first and last word of that verse, it's a present tense word. It doesn't mean occasionally rejoice, rejoice when you feel like it. It means be rejoicing. As you go about your life, you should be rejoicing. It doesn't leave much room for budging around there. But also notice the word, the adverb, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. We already pointed out that the fact that you're in the Lord never changes. If you're a Christian, you're in the Lord. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, you're in the Lord when good things happen. You're in the Lord when bad things happen. You're in the Lord when you're sick. You're in the Lord when you're healthy. So if you rejoice in the Lord, I think that means always, as he always said. As Christians, and always being in the Lord, we have no excuse to not be rejoicing. And you know, what this means is that our joy, our rejoicing is obedience, and it should be unconditional. It shouldn't be related to our circumstances. That doesn't mean you can't be happy when something good happens, but it shouldn't be limited to that. Your rejoicing should be a choice that supersedes that. And to be honest, I think of our testimony to the world as Christians. You know, the world gets happy when things go their way. The world gets happy when nice things happen to them. Where does the difference start showing up between the saved and the unsaved in this matter of joy, this matter of happiness? Is that Christians can rejoice, have the ability to rejoice no matter what happens. It's a supernatural joy. To me, this is a startling testimony of the grace of God in the life of a Christian to the world, is our joy no matter what. Remember also that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I think a Christian who can't rejoice must not be walking in the Spirit. On Galatians 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." It doesn't even say the fruit of the Spirit. I think sometimes you look at that like, well, I have one fruit or two fruit, or three fruits, or whatever. How many fruits do you have? It says the fruit of the Spirit. I think what that means is if you're walking in the Spirit, all these things ought to be true of you, should be being produced in your life. If we're walking in the Spirit, we should be characterized by joy. Once again, in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, emphasizes the continuation. The adverb always, the fact that he says it twice, so much in this verse emphasizes this act of rejoicing should be continuous. We must never attempt to excuse our depressed, gloomy attitudes. Rather than viewing those as things we can't help, well, I'm just depressed today because such and such happened last night, or whatever. We tend to excuse those off as being, well, it's not my fault. You know, I have to be depressed because of a fill in the blank. If we would view that as an attitude of sin, if we'd view that as an attitude of lack of faith, I think we'd see it more honestly rather than just viewing it as something we can't help. And that is what I want to come to at the end of this message, is rejoicing then isn't a reaction, isn't just something that happens that we can't help. Rejoicing is an act of faith. You know, faith is when we act, when we think, when we order our lives based upon biblical principles. Faith is when I do something because God told me to, regardless of whether I understand it. In fact, if I understand it, I'm not acting on faith. I'm acting on understanding. Faith is when I order my life based upon biblical principles. Faith has nothing to do with what I feel like, what I understand, what I want to do. Faith is acting because God said so, not because I felt like it, not because I wanted to. Therefore, I think, since rejoicing is an act of faith, I believe rejoicing should be part of every Christian's life, because the Christian's life is based on faith. How did he become saved? It was by faith. How do you live the Christian life? but by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk, how? By faith, not by sight." Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." So I believe that rejoicing is a choice. I believe rejoicing is an act of faith. It's when we step out and do something that we can't do ourselves, we do with God's help. We don't do it because we feel like it or because it makes sense to us or to anyone else. We do it by faith. I believe when we do that, we are pleasing God. As God says, we walk by faith. God says it is impossible to please him without faith. So when we go back to the beginning, to the introduction, is our joy, is our rejoicing just a reaction? Is it just dependent on circumstances? I'd say no. God told us to. Out of obedience, we should rejoice. As Christians, we have more than abundant cause to rejoice if we just need reasons to. We have more than we would need to rejoice. So how about you? How's your life? Does your life match that description? I think too often we live a roller coaster emotions. We're up one day, down the next. People have to wonder, are you going to be in a good mood today or in a bad mood today? And we just blame that on everything and anything that we can. I don't think that should be true of Christians. You could bow your head and close your eyes, please. I'm trying to show today conclusively that rejoicing is a choice, that rejoicing is an act of faith, which we have to choose to adopt. So just ask yourself, how are you doing? Do you experience this emotional roller coaster, this seesaw syndrome? I mean, you must realize that such things aren't just attitudes, emotions you can't help, that the practice of rejoicing is an act of faith, and failure to do that is disobedience, is actually sin. You know, God will help you do what he has told you to do. If you need help with rejoicing, God will help you when you step out by faith to do that. So just examine your hearts today. Have you made that choice to rejoice? Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you that you give us clear instruction. Thank you that we come to your word for guidance, for help, Lord, and that you won't ask us to do, tell us to do something that you won't also help us do. But I pray you'd help each one of us to make this choice to rejoice, Lord, that we can be a testimony to the world around us and to each other, Lord, of your grace in our lives, Lord. I thank you for that grace. I thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to rejoice. I pray you'd apply this to hearts as you see fit today. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.